The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Welcome to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm Dwight Falk. Mr. Stephen Fleury's traveling, and he asked me to fill in on today's program, so I appreciate that opportunity, and I'm glad to be with you here today on this Wednesday, January the 29th, 2020. It always seems strange to write the new year after it changes on the calendar, and maybe if you're filling out a check, if you do that anymore. Most people don't, I think. A lot of people pay things online, but occasionally I'll write a check or I'll write a date on something. And it always takes a little while to get used to the new year, but for some reason, 2020 has really been a hard one for me to get my head around. And every time I write that down or I say 2020, I have to double check and make sure that that's right. And it is. It's 2020. And so time is marching forward. We have quite a few things to cover on today's program, some headlines to start. And these headlines highlight the fact that there's concerns that are popping up, it seems like, just about every week, if not every day, something new to be concerned about, whether it be an illness or whether it be violence or whether it be division. There's growing anxiety, there's growing fear, there's growing tension in the United States and around the world. And so we'll look at a few headlines that talk about some of those developing concerns. And then the second half of today's program, we're going to focus on the fact that we need God's protection. God's protection is vital. We all need that. And, of course, you can check your headlines daily and you see situations that are just beyond the scope of man to control or to handle. We do need God to take care of the problems that we see developing in society, and thankfully he will. But mankind right now is still trying to figure things out and figure out how to maybe solve some of these issues. So we'll look at a few of these issues and then really focus in on the fact that we do need God's protection and he's willing to give it. So that's something that we can really hold on to and trust in. And we'll look at that in the second half. A few headlines to start here. This is the new, of course, illness that many people are concerned about. Headline is from Reuters. It says, U.S. government urges Americans to reconsider travel to China because of the coronavirus. So you've heard about this, no doubt. It's a new type of respiratory illness that they're trying to contain. Yeah, but it is. There are a few cases in the U.S. anyway, and we'll see, of course, how that develops as we go. But a lot of times these types of viruses, once they get going, they're hard to slow down. The U.S. State Department urged Americans on Monday to reconsider going to China because of the coronavirus after warning against travel to the Hubei province of China, where the respiratory illness is believed to have originated. Now, there are quite a few people that do travel to China often for business, and so this will affect quite a few. And if you have read some of the headlines about where this disease started over there in China and some of the reasoning for why it started, well, a lot of it gets down to what people eat and what they consume. And there are some things eaten in that part of the world that really just quite frankly are not to be eaten according to God's law. And illnesses do tend to break out. So there's probably a few things involved in the cause of this illness, but I've certainly read a few stories about that. The U.S., this quote says, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, said on Monday that it had not recorded any new confirmed cases of the illness overnight since its last update of 5, but that as many as 110 potential cases were under investigation. And so we hear about this on the news just about every day. There's a different flus that break out. This particular one, this respiratory illness, this coronavirus, it is somewhat related to that the few that broke out several years ago. There was the SARS, you remember that one, and then there was one from the Middle East as well, and both of those were quite severe, and in some cases deadly. So when it comes to flu season here in the West, People are always concerned about that. I think they keep an eye on it because it can be quite serious, particularly for the old or the young or people that are compromised with their immune systems. And then something new pops up like this, the coronavirus. So people are concerned about it. This is from the Morning Consult. It says, even as CDC says risk of coronavirus is low in U.S., worry begins to spread. So again, people are getting concerned about this virus. 74% are at least as concerned about an outbreak of this virus as they were Ebola spread in the U.S. in 2014. Ebola was quite severe, of course. I think we all remember that. And, you know, if there was a case of it that popped up somewhere, people were really quick to quarantine the area, put that person in isolation because it was such a serious illness. So people are concerned. This is something that people are worried about. It says a sudden emergence and escalation of the coronavirus have left the public particularly anxious about this outbreak. 47% of respondents think that it is at least somewhat likely that someone in their state will become infected. So people are watching the news and seeing where these new cases are popping up. And it's probably a good time to not travel if possible in terms of especially airlines. But, what you know, people travel for business. They have to travel. And so, but a lot of times things spread through those planes and especially international flights. So they are recommending people don't go to China. And I think they're really stepping up their efforts to monitor for this in airports. So it's another thing that'll potentially slow down travel. And so if you've traveled recently through the airports, you know it can take a while, and it's not always the most pleasant experience, especially now if you have to go through some sort of monitoring for this coronavirus. And so the CDC says the risk of coronavirus, they don't think it's huge right now in the U.S., but the worry is beginning to spread. People are concerned about it. It continues and says, as levels of panic grows, the public places their trust in, what do you think they place their trust in? Not God. They place their trust in the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and no one else. The majority of U.S. adults have little to no confidence in President Donald Trump to control the spread of the virus and have slightly more confidence in airline companies than in Congress. So, of course, people have to do their part in trying to prevent the spread of things like this, and there are quarantine laws and such in the Bible. But at the same time, putting trust in the CDC, well, that shows the problem right there. It's the trust in man. Maybe man can figure out a way to solve this. Science will take care of it. You know, that gets back to what Mr. Armstrong always talked about and wrote about, that this idea that, well, if we just had enough knowledge, or if we just had enough understanding, or we just had enough scientific advancement, we could solve all the problems in the world. And even though, of course, they are able to do some positive things, so I don't want to put it in a completely negative light. The reality is that without God's protection, there are illnesses that break out. There are sicknesses that happen. There are accidents that happen. There are wars. There are all kinds of things that happen without God's solution being implemented. And then for those of us, of course, alive today in this society, which is not God's society, we definitely need God's protection. Protection against illness, protection against accidents, protection against violence. People are concerned, and, well, they're putting their trust in the CDC. They're putting their trust in the CDC. How is that different than having an idol? You know, and going and praying to the stone image and asking for some sort of deliverance. You know, men are not gods. We're not gods. And so I just found that to be a very interesting statement. As the level of panic grows, the public places their trust in the CDC. Well, we'll see what happens with that particular illness. And, of course, we do hope that it gets under control and it's not a major problem. But, again, there just seems to be more and more of these outbreaks happening. Here's another headline from Reuters. This is again, the trend that we're seeing with people getting a little bit concerned about what's going on in society and feeling like they've got to do something about it if they can. It says homesteaders, catastrophists, run for the hills to flee U.S. uncertainty. And so, again, not everyone can afford to do this, so it's not everybody. But those that can afford to do it and are paying attention to, the political climate and so forth, are getting a little bit antsy. And they're starting to think, well, what could we do if something went really wrong? Who would protect us? Where would we go? Well, they're putting it in their own hands. Survivalists, it says, who fear a looming urban catastrophe are swapping city life for a fresh start off-grid and far from civilization. And on, you know, just a human level, I can understand why they would feel that way. I've been in some pretty big cities before. I remember particularly being in Manhattan and looking around and thinking, if something went wrong here, there'd be nowhere to go. We couldn't get out of here because there's such a congestion of people, and we're so dependent on the system running smoothly and food delivery and all of those things that we're used to, and electricity and, you know, law and order and all of that, that if there's any breakdown in that, it would get bad quickly. This article continues and says, this is a quote from John E. Haynes. He's a president of Retreat Realty in North Carolina. He's selling some property to some people up there. He says, I've had hedge fund managers and billionaires that have made purchases, and they all have concerns about the direction of the economy and social stability. So right now the economy is doing pretty well, of course, but there is the underlying issue of the massive debt that the U.S. carries, and they're concerned about that, and they're concerned about social stability. That's a pretty good idea. They should be concerned about social stability. Look at the media every single night, the talk shows, the news shows. I don't know if you call them news shows anymore. They're sort of talk-slash-entertainment shows about the news. But especially with the impeachment trial and everything that's going on and the upcoming election, there is just this constant division that's out there. And people are noticing it. I mean, they really are noticing it. It even came up a few days ago in the wake of the death of Kobe Bryant, the former Los Angeles Laker basketball star. And, of course, that affected quite a few people. He was well-known and well-liked, and many people grew up watching him play basketball. He was a sports icon. And so his death at the age of 41, which was very unexpected, it was an accident, it really shocked some people. But, well, there was one sports commentator talking about it, and he said, well, you know, the one thing about, say, a sports athlete like that or a sports star is that it's sort of a rallying point for people. He said, we're very divided in this country, obviously. But people could at least agree on, you know, that he was a good player and could kind of rally around that, even if they weren't necessarily a big fan of his in particular. They could sort of rally around sports, the commonality of sports or something like that. And but even in the midst of talking about sports, it gets back to this division in the country. It's being talked about on sports programs. It's being talked about certainly in political programs. This massive division that we see that's getting worse and worse and worse, the country more and more divided. And so people with the means and that are paying a little bit of attention, some of them are starting to say, you know what, if things go bad, I need a place to go. I've got to go someplace. And this gentleman, Johnny Haynes, president of Retreat Realty in North Carolina, says, we're on that upward trend. We're selling, he said. Inventory of that land on the market is tighter. Haynes has worked in real estate for decades, so he has a lot of experience here. He says about 4 years ago, he rebranded his company to pitch property to new and growing breed of buyer, those motivated by concerns about what? Social stability. They don't want to be in the city if there gets to be a riot. They don't want to be there because they know they're not safe. They want to go someplace where they can get away from the instability that could occur in a city. That's what they're trying to do. The article says he had a record year in 2019 and was busy in the run-up to the 2016 election when Donald Trump came to power. I'm sensing that again, he said. People get uncertain, and they start making decisions on the political environment and what they anticipate. So I think 2020 will be a good year for my business. So he's excited because he's going to sell a lot of property, he feels like. There is so much uncertainty. I mean, you remember last time when the president, President Trump won in 2016. And if you were watching the coverage that night, the media, which is predominantly left-leaning, had a meltdown. they had a meltdown. Here they thought their candidate was going to win. Hillary Clinton was going to get in there easily. It was going to be a record landslide victory, right? You remember that? And it didn't go that way. In fact, President Trump won, and they had a meltdown. They had a meltdown, and of course, they've been fighting him tooth and nail ever since, and they're still doing that. But what happens if he wins again? What happens if he wins in 2020? And I don't see any indication that he won't. I mean, look at the people that could potentially run against him. They're not the strongest candidates. And the economy is doing pretty well, at least on the surface. And he has done a lot of positive things for the country. And so what does the left do if he wins again? You know, have another meltdown? I don't know. But people are wondering these things. People are thinking about this on some level. They're concerned about maybe having some social instability. The concerns about social stability, that's what's getting some of these people, according to Reuters, to go buy property that's away from cities and set up a home or maybe a little bit of a community out there so they can, have protection. They can be protected, and they can protect themselves or try to. The article continues and says, Bruce, who values his privacy, so would not let his full name be used, is buying 20 acres in remote North Carolina, where trees will become fuel and water springs from the land. He has lived most of his life in cities, New York included, but now the plan is to escape the urban jungle, a place of traffic, noise, poverty, crime, and much else that Bruce dislikes. So just in general, it's nice to probably get out of those environments, even if it's not at a boiling point in terms of riots or something like that, but there is that concern as well. Bruce, who's in his mid-50s, he said, it reached the point where we were tired of being on the defensive. He said, Amazon can deliver groceries in 2 hours, but will the grocery store have food 3 days after a large disaster? He told the Thomson Reuters Foundation, noting the cataclysmic potential of a major disruption in electrical generation. Our hope is nothing like this happens, he said. But should it, we'll be better prepared to survive in a rural setting where more food is grown locally and where we have land on which to raise food or livestock or hunt. So people are thinking about, in some cases, and if they can afford it, they're thinking about protection. They're thinking about protection, but they're thinking about protecting themselves. Well, it's just like, again, we read about with this coronavirus, people are putting their faith and their hope and their trust in the CDC. Here, people are putting their faith and their trust in the ability to get away from the city and really in themselves, that they, well, if, you know, if they're away from people, they can take care of themselves and they'll be okay. There is that thought that they'll be okay if they can just get away from others. So people are looking for protection, but they're looking every place except where protection actually comes from, which is from God. In 2018, the Chapman University conducted a survey. It's a survey of American fears. And so this is a few years ago, but still interesting to look at. They note that more Americans are afraid than ever before. There's a fear. There's a top fears. Top fears of 2018. And I guess this would probably still be somewhat similar. 74% fear corrupt government officials. I would say that's probably still true today or higher. 62% fear pollution on oceans, rivers, and lakes. 61% fear pollution of drinking water. 57% fear not having enough money for the future. 57% also fear people that they love becoming seriously ill or dying. So there's quite a few fears there. Some of them are related more to the modern society in terms of maybe a pollution or something like that, or money concerns. But some of them are fears that are beyond our control in a lot of ways. You know, what is a person going to do if the government is, in their viewpoint, corrupt? What are they going to do? I mean, they're one person. What are they going to do if somebody gets ill? It's not much they can do. Not much they can do. And that's even a concern, I suppose, for those that say, well, you know, they think that the social breakdown of the cities is coming and they're going to get out and get on the land. Well, even if they could stay there for some time and nobody bothered them, what if they get sick? You know, there's always something. I mean, we're just humans. We're not God. And that's where people are misplacing their trust in themselves or in the CDC or in them and their friends. Maybe they can get together in a group or something like that. People do that sometimes and try to band together. But there are some serious issues in this country, some serious divisions. And those that are taking note of it and considering it are wondering what to do. What to do? How can they handle it? It's not just in the United States. Of course, there are problems all over the world. We're focusing pretty much on the U.S., I suppose, today. But, I mean, you can look at what's going on in Britain with the Brexit, what happens there economically, what happens as far as their relationship with Europe. There's immigration issues all over the place. People on the move, having to go from one spot to another. Some serious issues. CNN reported that over in Africa, 8 million children have been forced out of school by growing violence in West Africa. A new UNICEF report released on Tuesday quantifies the alarming human cost of the escalating violence. More than 8 million school-aged children in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger have been forced from school. That's 8 million. 8 million. Think about that. Think about the problems that come from the violence. It says nearly 1 million people are now displaced, with more than half of those coming from Burkina Faso. So, again, that's happening in Africa. That's just one headline. I mean, there's problems in those regions. There's problems in the Middle East, of course. China obviously has their health concerns and what's going on over there. And there's a fear of a dictatorship there in Russia with Vladimir Putin. All sorts of concerns, locally, internationally. Everywhere you look, there is growing concern. And what does it come down to for most people in terms of what are they looking for? They're looking for protection. They're looking to be safe. They're looking to get away from the problems that they see on the horizon. And so people are trying to, in a lot of cases, solve it themselves. They're going to put their trust in the CDC. They're going to put their trust in themselves. They'll put their trust maybe in some cases, in the government. Some people do that. They're going to put their trust somewhere. They have to trust something. And yet in all of these stories, the one thing you don't read about is people putting their trust in God. People not putting their trust in God. But that's what we need. We need protection. And we do need God to provide that. So we'll take a look at that in the second part of today's program. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show here on 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And if you missed any past episodes, you can always go find those podcasts. They're available there on KPCG and thetrumpet.com, wherever you like to get your podcasts. And, of course, you can watch it also on YouTube. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as his own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That he calls human beings his children because he wants to be their father. This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly six decades.
If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today.
Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show here on 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com, also streaming on YouTube as well. So thanks for joining us in those locations. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for a regular host, Mr. Stephen Fleury, who is traveling. I think he'll be back by towards the end of the week. And I appreciate the opportunity to sit in today. The first half of the program, we looked at some headlines that show some of the rising concerns in the world. The coronavirus from China, some violence that's spreading in Africa. And, of course, there's a lot more that could be talked about there. And also just the fact that people are starting to be more and more concerned about these things. And they're putting their trust in the CDC when it comes to illness, or in the case of those that are trying to get out of the cities and get into a rural setting, you know, because they're concerned about social collapse. They're looking to themselves. They're looking to themselves for protection. And so protection is what I was thinking about today and in the last few weeks. And the reason that I was thinking about protection and needing protection was because of two local events. A few weeks ago, I was watching the local news after work one day, and I saw a story that I found to be just incredibly shocking. And it highlights the need for protection. There's a road that runs here locally through our local town of Edmond. If you've been to Edmond before, you'll probably recognize the name Broadway. And so Broadway, between 15th and 33rd there, it's a very well-traveled route. I've been up and down that road countless times. A lot of shopping out there, or sometimes if you're going down to Oklahoma City, you might take that route. And there's parks, all kinds of things. Lots of people travel on that road every day. And so it's very heavily populated with cars and people in the vehicles. And so the news story focused on that section of road, and it was in the middle of the day when people are driving to and from work or lunch or, you know, whatever they were doing at that time. I think it was about the middle of the day somewhere. And there was security camera footage, and it showed this man standing on the sidewalk. And he was acting rather strangely. And so all of a sudden, he pulls out a handgun, and he shoots it randomly across Broadway. Now, thankfully, he didn't hit anybody, but he certainly could have. And the police found him and arrested him, and, well, he was high on drugs. He was high on drugs. Things like that happen. And I thought to myself, well, I drive up and down that road. Can you imagine? Can you imagine driving on that road or any road that you might frequent? And all of a sudden, you know, you hear a gun go off and you turn around and you look in the back seat and your kid's shot and they're dead. Just because some guy randomly that decided to shoot a gun across the road because he was high on drugs. Okay, I mean, it would turn your life upside down. It could have done so much damage. And here are people driving up and down that road. I was thinking, who was driving right there that day that the bullet missed him by 2 feet and they don't know it? They don't even know it. Things like that can happen. It's just craziness. There a few months before that, there was a news story here locally again. Same sort of situation where there was this guy high on drugs. And they again, it was security camera footage. And a woman was doing her grocery shopping in the middle of the day. And she had the cart next to her vehicle, and she was loading the groceries in, and her baby was in the cart sitting there in a seat, you know, one of those baby seats. And this man comes by, and he just picks the seat up with the baby in it and throws it on the ground as hard as he can. Now, thankfully, the baby was okay. And then the man proceeds to go over and grab a stop sign, and he just about ripped it out of the ground with his bare hands, because he was so out of his mind on these drugs. Do we need protection? I mean, in both of those cases, the people that were either victimized or almost victimized, they were just minding their own business. They weren't doing anything. They weren't caught. They weren't at the bad part of town, you know, at the middle of the night. They were grocery shopping. They were driving to lunch. And things can happen. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was driving myself in Edmond, and a road rage incident broke out just in front of me between a pretty large truck and a really small car. And they just began to cut each other off and hit the brakes, and it was right in front of me. And I slowed down, and everybody that was kind of near me or behind me, we all slowed way down because we don't know what was going to happen. They almost got into a wreck about 5 or 6 times. And then the fear is, well, somebody's going to pull a gun out. That's just in the middle of the day, just driving down the road. Those are, you know, personal examples. And that's not to mention the bigger global issues. Do we need protection? Absolutely, we need protection. We need God's protection. Who would you trust in a road rage situation? Who would you trust if, you know, to make sure that you weren't shot randomly driving down the road? You know, well, you hope the police do their job and all of those things, but we need God's protection. We need to pray for God's protection for others and ourselves. We need to be praying for God's protection. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, wrote about some of the times that God protected him and his family. God protects his people. And he wrote this in Mystery of the Ages. He says, "My wife Loma and I have both experienced this in personal incidents. When our elder daughter was a baby, Mrs. Armstrong was sleeping with the child beside her on the inside of the bed against a bedroom wall. And she heard a voice calling out, 'Move, Beverly.' And she thought it was a dream, and without waking, continued in sleep. She then heard the same voice again a little louder. She half awakened, saw nothing, again thought it was a dream, turned over, and was once again going to sleep. When the voice a third time was heard, this time loud and emphatic, 'Move, Beverly.' Bewildered, she moved the child to the other side of her, and a second or two later, a heavy frame picture that hung on the wall immediately over where the child had been lying crashed down on the bed." Pretty dramatic. Is that protection from God? Of course it was. Of course it was. An accident was about to happen, and God protected Mrs. Armstrong and their child. It says it might have crushed the child's head or severely injured her. The only explanation was that God sent an angel to save Beverly's life. He goes on with another example. "In the early days of my ministry," Mr. Armstrong says, "about 1934, I was driving a car one very stormy night in a downpour of rain on a highway." I think we've all been there, right? You've probably driven before in pretty serious storms. And it was south of Eugene, Oregon. He says, "I was driving about 40 miles an hour on a very winding road. As I approached a sharp curve in the road, the steering wheel of my car suddenly turned sharply to the left, as if wrenched out of my hand by some invisible force. Directly ahead of me was a wrecked truck. I just missed it passing on its left. It was dark, and a wrecked car was standing just ahead of me. The steering wheel of the car was suddenly wrenched out of my hands, and the car turned sharply toward the right. My car passed between the northbound car and the southbound truck back into the right lane, with not more than a single inch to spare between the wrecked car and truck. I had never experienced anything like it. The steering wheel of my car was turned by some force out of my control and against my hand holding it straight forward." Now, Mr. Armstrong experienced protection. God's protection. There's nothing he could have done in that situation. And it wouldn't have been his own fault. He wasn't doing anything other than driving down a road. But God protected him. God saved his life. He would have crashed into that car. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been protected like that in some way? If you think back, probably you have. Probably you have. God does protect his people. I've had that happen to me. I had that happen one time when I was much younger, driving down the interstate. And it was very icy, and I wasn't going exceptionally fast, but it was so icy I couldn't hardly keep the car straight. The back kept slipping. And before I knew it, the back just slid out, and I was 360-ing down the highway, crossed a lane of traffic. Nobody was there. Car came to rest exactly in where we would do a U-turn on the highway. You know, those U-turn little lanes just came to rest right there against the snowbank. And I sat there for a few seconds, Thank God. Prayed for more protection. Continued on my way. Not a scratch on the car or on me. It's amazing. Those things happen. We need God's protection. Mr. Armstrong certainly experienced that. And I think you probably have, too. We're going to need more of that. We need God's protection, and we need to be praying for that and praying for others as well, that God would protect his people, that God would protect his ministry when they fly, when they drive, when they travel. Protection from accidents, protection from illnesses, all sorts of things that can happen, random crime and violence that's out there. Of course, we do our part to try to be safe and be wise, but sometimes things are beyond our control, and we need God's protection, and we'll need that more and more as we go. In Matthew 6, Christ's disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. They saw that he prayed, and they wanted to know how to do it. And Christ gave them the outline of how to pray. So, as you know, this isn't to be vainly repeated. This was an outline. It is an outline. Things to pray about, but then, of course, people have to get personal and specific and spend more time on it in drawing close to God. It's a guideline for true Christians to use. And if you notice in verse 13, this is in Matthew 6, it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." There's an article in the 1984 Good News magazine, and it says, Jesus' statement in Matthew 6:13 is better translated, "Bring us not into sore trial, but deliver us from the evil one," or Satan. God tempts no one, but he does sometimes permit us to fall into trials and troubles of our own or Satan's devising in order to test us. And you can think, of course, about, say, Job's situation. He was tested. But the article continues and says, "We should pray daily and earnestly that God would not permit us to be brought into any severe trial or temptation." Pray for protection. Pray for protection. We go about our days, and we probably have no idea how many times we are protected from something. Again, I think about those people driving down Broadway, and some man shoots a bullet across the road. Thankfully, it didn't hit anybody, but who was close? Who was close to being hit by that? Lots of traffic on that road. Lots of traffic. How often has something almost happened to us, and we don't know about it? And God really protects his people. And we need more of that, and we have to rely on him. We're not looking to the CDC for protection. We're not looking to man's solutions for protection. We're not looking to ourselves for protection. We have to be looking to God. He's the only one that has the power to protect us. Speaking of temptation and trial, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, it says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So we do, again, we're going to have tests and trials. That's going to happen. But God makes a way of escape, and he protects us. You know, what are we going to do if things fall apart, if society unravels? And if you know your Bible, you know that there are prophecies that talk about that happening. And even people that don't pay a whole lot of attention to the Bible are just looking at the climate. They're looking at the political climate. And those that have the means to do it are planning a way of escape. But, of course, you can read passages in the Bible that talk about the fact that without God's protection, there is no way of escape from the trials that are coming. God does protect his people. Something to be thankful for. Thank God for every day. Even before God calls someone, he often protects them so they can be called. This is a really interesting section here from the Jude booklet. And if you don't have, again, some of these books we're talking about, they're all free at thetrumpet.com. So please get them and read them. But this is a really, really inspiring part of the Jude booklet. Trumpet editor-in-chief Mr. Gerald Fleury wrote this. And he's talking about how God protects people even before they're called. It says, in the RSV, or the Revised Standard Version, Jude addresses his letter, quote, "to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." That's verse 1 of Jude there. It says, that is the way it reads in most commentaries. Something like called, beloved, and kept in that order. He says, but that is wrong. In the King James, which really is a better translation, this letter is addressed, quote, to them who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Notice the difference, he says. Most Bibles switch the order around, but if you look at the original Greek, the word called is listed third. This is the inspired order. Why? So again, he's looking here at Jude 1, and Jude talking about the process of how God calls somebody. And there is a component to this of protection. He says this verse confirms something that God's people have believed for many years, but never had a scripture to reinforce the idea. This calling is not some casual thing like just happening to turn on the church television broadcast. This word, called, has a deeper meaning. Jude says that first of all, we are sanctified by God the Father, then preserved in Jesus Christ, and then, finally, we are called. Quite a different sequence of events, but that's the way it reads in the Greek. In verse 1, he says the word called would better read invited. That is the first definition of the word, and the one the translator should have used. This is talking about something different from the verse that says many are called, but few are chosen. Where, and that's in Matthew 22 and verse 14, where we preach God's message to the world. This verse teaches us God's careful selection process. First, a person is sanctified or set apart by the Father. Then he or she is preserved by Christ and then invited into God's family. Preserved. See, that to be preserved, we have to be protected. Continues and says, if God the Father sets us apart, certainly Christ would then have to preserve us, or Satan would destroy us spiritually. So before God invited you, you had a history with God. Every one of us had some history with God before we were invited. We are under the closest scrutiny by the Father, probably for years before we were invited. During that period of time, Christ had to preserve and protect us from Satan. And then, when and if we are ready, the Father invites us into his family. God even has to prepare us for the invitation. And so it's amazing and an inspiring sequence of events that God the Father and Jesus Christ are involved in there. But part of that, and specific to what we're talking about today, is the fact that we have to be protected, preserved and protected, even before being invited by God into his begotten family, into the church. There's protection that has to happen. There's so many stories that you've maybe heard over the years, I certainly have, of people being protected where they should have been dead. They shouldn't be here. But for some reason, they didn't die. Well, it's because God protected them. God protected them. God does protect us. We need to be thanking God for that and asking for more of it. As times get more intense, we need more of God's protection. God does protect his people. How does he do it? How does he do it? Mr. Armstrong describes this here in Mystery of the Ages. He says, God has had angels specifically assigned to supervise and protect his church throughout all of its history. You can read about that in Revelation 1 and verse 4, verse 16 and 20, Revelation 2 and verse 1 and 8, and so on. Revelation 3, 1, 7, and 14. Plenty of examples there. You can read through those, the history of the church eras. God does, it says, has had angels specifically assigned to supervise and protect his church throughout all of its history. He has angels who continually walk through the earth to observe and report back to him the overall conditions on earth. You can read about that in Revelation 5, Zechariah 4, and 2 Chronicles 16. He says, and God has angels specifically assigned to look after his begotten human children. Acts 12 and verse 15 and Matthew 18 and verse 10. In Psalm 91 and verse 11, God promises, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God has angels that he uses to protect his people. You know, we don't see them. And I suppose, like in the case that Mr. Armstrong talked about, maybe there's some times where there's something extraordinary happens. His wife heard a voice telling her to move her child. But in most cases, we're not even aware sometimes. We know we were protected at times because of just the amazing, say, situation where, you know, you might be in a car accident and all of a sudden you weren't somehow. We can look at the result and say, well, that something happened there. How come I didn't get in that accident? We know God protected us, but we often don't see exactly how he did it. But he's using his angels to do that. Christ understood that. He understood that God uses the righteous angels to protect his people. Notice this here in Matthew 26. There's a really interesting point here also. It says, this is Matthew 26, verses 52 through 54. It says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again your sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." So you remember the history here. They were coming to take Christ to accuse him and then crucify him and beat him. And Peter was trying to defend Christ and took out his sword, and you remember the history. Christ said, put the sword away. Verse 53, "Think you that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" All these angels could come at that moment. Verse 54 says, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" So Christ understood that he had to go through what was coming. He was laying his life down, and the Father was allowing all of that to happen. But Christ could have called 12 legions of angels to come and protect him. He didn't need the sword in Peter's hand. You know, but we're human, you know. So, and Peter at the time didn't have God's spirit, and so he was thinking, "Well, I'll fight." Well, Christ didn't need that. He knew he could have these angels come. Here's the other point, though, that's fascinating beyond just the fact that Christ knew where the protection would come from, is the fact that Christ could have done that, and God would have answered that prayer. Now, obviously, they didn't do that because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. But the point being, Christ was so close to God, he knew the Father would answer that prayer. He knew he'd be protected. And again, of course, Christ warned us not to tempt God. We don't go out there and intentionally, you know, get into some sort of difficulty so God can protect us. We do our part to be safe and be wise and all of that. But God does protect us, and we need that protection. And Christ was so close to the Father. He did those things always that pleased the Father, and that's why he was close to him. And that's why God answered his prayers. Mr. Armstrong said that today, Christians lack power. And the reason, he said, was because we're too close to a material world and we're too far from God. Very practically speaking, oftentimes we spend too much time in material pursuits and interests and not enough time in prayer and in study and in drawing close to God. And so we're removed. We don't have the faith that we need, in general, of course. I mean, we're all trying to grow in this, and God's people are growing in this, but that's something that we can keep growing in. Christ was so close to God the Father that he knew that if he prayed and asked, God would send 12 legions of angels. He wouldn't have had any problem. He would have been protected. They could have sent, you know, a million people after Christ, and it wouldn't have mattered if it wasn't the time for him to be taken. But of course, as he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. God alone can protect us. It's not, again, hearkening back to the earlier quote from the first part of the program, it's not the CDC that we need to trust in, or it's not ourselves, or it's not, you know, formulating this plan to get out of the city or something like that. It is God, trusting in God. God alone can protect us. There's a warning here in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. It says in the verse 36, it says, "For the Eternal shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left." Verse 37, "He shall say, Where are their gods, small g, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection." So here, idolatry is what's being condemned. The people weren't looking to God. They were looking to idols. They were sacrificing to idols. They were sacrificing to idols. So today, I mean, we don't have that exact same system where there's not a bunch of stone idols around and people are putting all these meat and drink offerings on there, I don't think. But again, like Mr. Armstrong talked about, being close to a material society, trusting in the CDC, trusting in these other idols, really, if they're being put ahead of God. And like that quote said earlier that we read, people are putting their trust in the CDC and nothing else when it comes to protection from illness. Really? What does God say here in verse 38? We just read it. Those idols, let them rise up and help you and be your protection. We'll see, right? That's what God's saying. Okay, you want to trust in something beyond me? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Idols of any kind aren't going to protect anyone. Sometimes people think, well, they're going to, you know, they'll protect themselves. They'll get weapons and they'll be good at using them. They can protect themselves. Well, again, God's the one that protects. And again, think of the outbreak of disease like we were talking about, including this new coronavirus. I mean, we all want to be protected from that, right? Nobody wants to get sick. I sure don't. We'll notice this in Exodus 15 and verse 26. Are there promises about protection? Yes, there are. It says, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, that's a big if, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God and will do that which is right in his sight, again, not what's right in our own sight or what's right in society's sight, what's right in God's sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Eternal that heals you. That's a promise there from God. Now, it's conditional, right? I mean, we have to have faith and obedience. And you know, we can't eat just any old thing that we want to and think we won't have illnesses. We can't think, well, you know, the CDC will take care of it. God says, diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God. Do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments. Keep his statutes. And the promise is, I will put none of these diseases upon you. There is going to be outbreaks. I mean, we are living in a time where we're going to see more and more problems like that. And that's not to say that God's people will never, ever get sick or something like that. But in general, if we obey God, he says, look, I won't put these diseases on you. God's word is full of promises of protection, full of promises of protection. But always, just like in the passage we just read, God points to the fact that we have to do what is right in God's sight. We have to do what's right in his sight. And that's what people aren't willing to do today. So why is it more convenient for most people to say, well, I trust in the CDC? Because the CDC doesn't have a lot of guidelines or rules. I suppose maybe they would have a few in relation to the illness or something. But people can live how they want to live. And then they'll ask their idol to take care of things. Right? That's, I suppose, the appeal of idolatry. They can feel good about having some sort of belief, but the idol doesn't tell anybody what to do. There's no laws there. There's no rules there. Not really. Not in terms of how people need to live. God says, well, you have to do what I say. But then I'll protect you. Then you won't have any of these diseases. You know, we are living in a more and more fearful time. And it's natural for people to be afraid. We are just naturally afraid of danger. But God tells his faithful people that they don't have to fear. They don't have to fear. Notice this in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says, fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So God promises it here. Look, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Of course, you know, there's a natural concern we should have. I mean, we can't just walk through life thinking nothing will ever go wrong, or we'll never be tested or tried in any way. Of course we have tests and trials. But we don't have to have this crippling fear that many people do have and will be growing. And this uncertainty of what's going to happen. God's word is full of promises. It's full of promises. And he says, fear you not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. We have help. We have protection. We have everything that we need. We have to diligently seek God. That's a daily effort. prayer and in Bible study, occasional fasting, diligently seek God, do what is right in God's sight. God has a way to handle things, and we have to do what's right in God's sight. And then in faith, we can pray for protection for other people, for God's ministry, for people all over this earth. There are other trials. We didn't even talk about, you know, those fires that have been in Australia and other issues, and there's natural disasters, all kinds of things that are happening. God has people all over this earth, and we have to pray for people's protection and pray for our own protection. Pray that God would protect us, protect our families, keep us safe. You know, we're not guaranteed another day or 2 days or weeks or anything. We don't know. This life is temporary, and we know it is temporary as we prepare for eternal life in God's kingdom. But God does promise protection, so much so that there is even a place of protection promised when things get so bad on this earth that there's no other place to go. So if we diligently seek God, do what is right in God's sight, pray for protection, and have faith in God's promises, we don't have to be full of anxiety and fear and worry. We can trust God to protect us. He says he will. He is our God, and he will protect us, and we can take just incredible comfort in that. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Maybe you've had some experiences that are pretty miraculous. You can always send those in to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and maybe Mr. Stephen Fleury will have some time to read a few of those. They're always inspiring. So stay safe. We do need God's protection. Thanks for spending some time with me today on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm Dwight Falk. Make sure you keep listening to KPCG.FM 101.3, and we're online at thetrumpet.com as well as KPCG.FM. You can also find past episodes of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thanks for spending some time with me. We'll talk to you later.